Intermission. Sila. Storytellers understand the power of silence. Nothing arrests the attention of an audience quite like a well-timed dramatic pause, especially if the silence continues just a little longer than expected. By the design of heaven, a long, dramatic pause interrupted the story of God's grace. After Jonah's successful mission to Nineveh, Israel's enemy responded to the Lord's gracious call for repentance. They heeded God's warning and, as promised, he withheld punishment. The Lord's covenant people, on the other hand, never fully repented. The nation of Israel, divided by civil war and plagued by idolatry, grew increasingly distant from him. After repeated warnings and severe chastisement, the nation God had ordained to be a light to the world entered its darkest period yet. He allowed a foreign nation to conquer the promised land and to carry the children of Israel into exile. For 70 years, the Hebrew people lived in the land of the Babylonians, a region formerly known as Ur of the Chaldeans, Genesis chapter 11, the very place from which God had called Abraham. In a very real sense, the plan of God had returned to where it began. Moreover, from an earthly perspective, the grace of God appeared to have failed to accomplish anything. Pagan idolaters flooded into the promised land, and the people of God returned to servitude in a foreign country. Centuries of Hebrew history had come to nothing. During these bleak years, the Lord assured his covenant people that despite the apparent victory of evil over good, his grace would prevail. He said, "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 to 14. True to his promise, God returned a remnant of the original 12 tribes to the promised land. But nothing was ever quite the same. They reclaimed their inheritance with a sorrow-tinged joy. After 70 years in exile, the Jews who left Babylon, in a second exodus as it were, returned to a home they had never seen. Like Abraham, they left everything familiar to sojourn in a land God would show them. For their new beginning, they rebuilt Jerusalem from rubble and reconstructed the Lord's temple with war-scarred stones. They struggled to keep hostile pagans at bay while maintaining a tenuous hold on their property. Meanwhile, the voice of the Lord grew quieter and came with less frequency. Eventually, his voice fell silent. 400 years passed without a word. No authentic prophet of God spoke or wrote on his behalf. Like an unannounced intermission, the curtain of world events closed on the story of God's grace, and the stage went dark. During this silence, the people of Israel struggled to survive, and the Lord met their faithfulness with miraculous affirmation of his love. For example, Judas the Hammer led the Jewish nation to victory over their invaders. After they'd successfully rid themselves of foreign rule, the Jews reclaimed their desecrated temple and relit the sacred lamps. Unfortunately, the priests found enough oil to keep them lit for only one day, whereas the process to consecrate oil took no less than 8. Trusting the Lord to provide, they began their work, and miraculously the lamps remained lit all 8 days. Today, nearly 2,300 years later, Jews still celebrate the Feast of Dedication, or the Feast of Lights, more commonly known as Hanukkah. Nevertheless, no prophet of God wrote a solitary prophetic word or uttered a single divine syllable. Another 200 years passed in silence after the miracle of Hanukkah, during which hope for Israel dimmed with each passing year. Some abandoned their faith for something more tangible. religion fueled by human willpower. Others tightened their desperate grip on the promise of a Redeemer. Nevertheless, a remnant of believers trusted the character and power of their God, and they reminded one another of His promises. In the Garden of Eden, the Lord had warned Satan, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." The Lord had promised Abraham, "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you." The Lord had promised Judah, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor." The Lord had promised the nation of Israel, "In the future, when you experience all these blessings and curses I have listed for you, and when you are living among the nations to which the Lord your God has exiled you, take to heart all these instructions. The Lord your God will return you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will possess that land again. Then he will make you even more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors." Deuteronomy chapter 30. The Lord had said to David, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." And in his last word before a 400-year silence, the Lord promised a Savior for the ragtag faithful remnant of Jews. "You, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Anticipation and doubt vied for the hearts of God's covenant people as deranged would-be messiahs emerged from the wilderness every couple of years. Each false Christ gathered a frenzied following, only to lead them to slaughter, trying the faith of the faithful and justifying the cynicism of the corrupt. Then, with a perfect timing and the grandeur of an Act 3 overture, the grace of God shook the world. A piercing pinpoint of light attracted the attention of mystics on the far side of the Arabian desert, Matthew chapter 2. Somewhere in the pastures surrounding the backwater town of Bethlehem, an angelic host ripped the veil between heaven and earth to bring a stunning announcement: the Messiah is born. Just as the prophet Isaiah had foretold, a baby brought new hope for Israel. Most had interpreted his oracle figuratively, yet the literal fulfillment of the prophet's vision lay in a makeshift cradle in the city of David, born of a virgin, a descendant of David, a king worthy of Israel's throne. Emmanuel, translated God with us, carried more literal meaning than anyone could have imagined. In time, he would prove to all that in the birth of the Redeemer, God had not only come to rescue humanity from the death grip of sin, he had become one of us.